call for hearings after explosive interview.
I believe I was fired because I opened a case against the President of the United States.
New battle for President Trump.
He's going to protect his national emergency declaration guaranteed.
Southwest maintenance mess.
It doesn't bode well for the safety of the airline.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. A tweet this morning from President Trump calls Andrew McCabe's story lies and deranged, and he suggests the fired acting director of the FBI was planning an illegal act with others to try to remove him. Some lawmakers say there will be hearings after what McCabe told 60 Minutes. Here's CBS's Major Garrett.
Andrew McCabe said the days after President Trump fired former FBI Director James Comey were chaotic and confusing, as he and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein discussed the president's motivations. Rosenstein made an extraordinary suggestion.
The Deputy Attorney General offered to wear a wire into the White House. He was not joking. He was absolutely serious. The reason you would have someone wear a concealed recording device would be to collect evidence. And in this case, what was the true nature of the president's motivation in calling for the firing of Jim Comey?
The Justice Department has denied Rosenstein authorized the use of a wire to record the president. On another matter, this concerning Mr. Trump's skepticism of U.S. intelligence, McCabe recalled hearing a startling example from an FBI official who met with the president.
The president said he did not believe that the North Koreans had the capability to hit us here with ballistic missiles in the United States. And he did not believe that because President Putin had told him they did not.
Well, there will be demonstrations in some cities today by groups that oppose President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border last week to get money for his border wall. CBS's Nancy Cordes has more on the fallout.
White House senior advisor Stephen Miller defended President Trump's controversial move Sunday.
He could choose to ignore this crisis, choose to ignore this emergency, as others have, but that's not what he's going to do.
But the president's own words.
I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster.
May have opened him up to legal challenges. Including one being filed by California's attorney general and at least six other states. A resolution of disapproval is likely to pass the House and Senate, but it would take a two-thirds vote in both chambers to override a presidential veto.
Now to Chicago, where police say they want a follow-up interview with Empire actor Jussie Smollett. CBS's Dean Reynolds tells us they say the trajectory of their investigation has shifted after new information about the attack he reported last month.
Sources say two brothers initially brought in for questioning told police it was Smollett who orchestrated the alleged attack himself. Smollett maintains he was assaulted by two men who doused him with bleach and put a rope around his neck amid racist and homophobic slurs.
He said, "This MAGA country punches me right in the face."
Now sources say these Nigerian brothers told detectives Smollett directed them to buy the rope and reportedly even rehearsed the assault ahead of time.
Correspondent Adriana Diaz is in Aurora, Illinois, where five people were shot and killed on the job last Friday.
We want to pray today.
More than 1,500 people attended a prayer vigil Sunday outside the Henry Pratt Company. Their pain filled the air. Diana Juarez's father, Vicente, was one of those killed.
He's never going to come home. Never.
Another victim, plant manager Josh Pinkard, sent a heartbreaking text to his wife, writing, "I love you. I've been shot at work." Police say the suspect, 45-year-old Gary Martin, brought a .40-caliber handgun to work and started shooting after he was fired.
A background check on the late gunman failed to find a felony conviction that could have prevented him from buying a gun. Later, when it was uncovered, a letter ordered him to turn it in. Picked by President Trump but never officially nominated, Heather Nauert has now withdrawn from consideration to be the next U.N. ambassador. Among the factors, a nanny she and her husband employed, reportedly in the country legally but not having legal status to work. There's new action after last week's stories about the bad conditions in privatized military housing. Here's CBS's Bill Rakoff.
The Secretary of the Army is ordering all privatized military housing to be inspected within the next 30 days and for commanders to document and report issues to include mold, vermin, and flooding. In an exclusive interview with CBS News, the Army Secretary Mark Esper says both the chain of command and private contractors have to be held accountable.
We were astounded by the lack of customer service, the lack of attention, and just the conditions they were living is unconscionable.
Esper says in the coming weeks he'll travel to military locations around the country personally to address the issue. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
A lot of people are traveling over the holiday, and transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve says one major airline has issues.
It's been a rough President's Day weekend for Southwest Airlines. Since Friday, the carrier experienced more cancellations and delays than any other U.S. airline. About 100 flights were canceled for maintenance reasons as the airline struggles to keep up with an unusually high number of aircraft taken out of service for maintenance issues. It prompted Friday's operational state of emergency memo. Such a declaration is not unprecedented, but it is rare. A dozen Southwest mechanics tell us coworkers felt emboldened to write up problems following our CBS News investigation earlier this month into allegations of undue pressure on mechanics at Southwest. In a statement, Southwest says it's working to minimize the impact to customers of the out-of-service planes.
A confrontation at a school in Lakeland, Florida, when an 11-year-old student refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The boy's mom says the substitute teacher in the class spoke up.
I told my son to go back to his homeland. He was confused. He was like, what do you mean, Africa? She said, yeah.
And the school district says students aren't required to stand for the pledge, but the boy, who called the flag racist, was charged with disruption misdemeanors. The child's mother wants the charges dropped. It's one of the great events in sports, the Daytona 500.
Denny Hamlin's second win in 4 years didn't come easily. 9 drivers took turns leading the race 15 times. In the end, is heard on MRN radio.
William Byron gets it. Slamming in is McMurray.
There were 3 crashes with 10 laps or less to go. The race was stopped twice for about 40 minutes total.
I've seen, 5 laps take an hour before, but the track was just an absolute mess.
Hamlin says he was lucky to have been in front of all 3 crashes to avoid them. Peter King, CBS News at Daytona International Speedway.
Well, political opponents of Japan's Prime Minister Abe are raising questions, and he has declined to say whether or not he nominated President Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize. Friday, Mr. Trump praised the Japanese leader for doing so. A newspaper says Abe nominated Mr. Trump at the president's request. And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.